to start my recording this morning. Great to be together again and be able to sing those songs together. It was some great songs that we sung this morning. I appreciate those. And the comments and prayers and certainly as we partook of the Lord's Supper this morning remind us of our Savior and what He has done for us and that memorial that we take. I want to continue our lesson this morning. We're talking about King David. As we talked last week, and as with the article, if you got to read the article, I personally like that, and I hope you found it informative as well. Kind of moments in scriptures, like, did they really do that? What were they really thinking? As we talked about David and Bathsheba and all the sins really associated with that event. So in some regards, that was one of those lessons. It's kind of a hard lesson. It's not, but I think as we try to turn it and make it a lesson of victory, because that's what it was. As we looked in Hebrews, we saw David being accounted for in Hebrews 11 to one of the faithful. So David, though he stumbled and though he failed greatly, I think certainly sins we call horrendous and hideous and any other of those terms that we might apply to it, David was victorious because he followed God. He turned back to God. He didn't wallow in his sins, as it were. And he changed. He converted. He repented of the things he'd done wrong. Today, I want to take a look at another lesson from David. It's also a lesson of victory. And this one is probably one we would all concede is a great victory for David. And it's not that we're talking about David's victory as much. The battle belongs to Jehovah. The battle belongs to God. It wasn't that David had his victory. It's that Jehovah had his victory. David was the mechanism that that Jehovah used at this occurrence to gain this victory. It's a lesson we probably learned since childhood, isn't it? It's David and Goliath. Our kids probably know the story well. And it's certainly a great story for us. Let's just read Samuel 17. Turn to 1 Samuel. As with last week, we're going to read through this chapter, some select verses, but basically we'll stay in this chapter, 1 Samuel 17. If you want to turn there, we will specifically read here verses 32 through 37 to set the context of our lesson. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 through 37. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," being talking about Goliath. "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and I took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, I smote him, I delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David moreover said, "The Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." This is the lesson I want to talk about and look at today. The faith of David and the victory that God granted David and Israel through his hand. So as we look and consider this, the title lesson being, "The Battle Belongs to Jehovah." The battle belongs to Jehovah. It's amazing as we look through Old Testament history and see men as they act. And we've talked about King Saul. King Saul looked to himself. King Saul looked to his mighty men. And if you remember our lesson, we talked about Jonathan. And Jonathan looked and says, "Who's to say God was saved by many or by few?" And went out and gained the battle. And so we see that men always, as with Saul's case, look to themselves. What kind of army have I got? Even David did this once. He numbered the people. He sinned because of that. Why did he number the people? "How great is my army?" is what he's numbering the people for. "How many fighting men do I have?" David forgot in that case. Who fights his battles? Jehovah. The battle belongs to Jehovah. The battle is not within the mind of man. It's not within the strength of man. The battle is with Jehovah. Jehovah will give the victory, whether by few or by many. So as we look here, let's read chapter 17, verse 1 through 3. Setting the context of this battle. Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, verse 1 through 3. The Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, that belongs to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Asaph, and Ephesthenim, I suppose. There in verse 1. Now verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Philistines was a thorn in Saul's side, his entire lineage as king. Their entire time as king, the Philistines were a thorn. And here they are, still a thorn to Israel. And they've raised up against Israel and against Saul. And now here's David. And they get these battles, and they're in battle array. They're set up. The armies on one side, on the other. Well, as we might remember the story, Goliath issues a challenge. Here, we'll start to continue reading. In verse 4 of 1 Samuel 17, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head and was armed with a coat of mail. Weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. I'm reading from the King James here, and some of your versions might read better. But and then the verse 7, the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing his shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, verse 8, why are you come out to set your battle array? Am I not a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man of you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then then ye shall be our servants. And so we see the Philistines, they set this battle up and said, hey, makes sense. Let's not all fight. All a bunch of men get killed. Let's send our champion out. Nobody can beat Goliath. You guys, you Israelites, you send one man out. Let's let the battlefield be determined by these two men. And that's what the challenge was. The Philistines blatantly and defy the God of Israel, the God of creation. They are defying and challenging the God of Israel. And so there's a challenge. Notice how they responded in verse 11. How did Israel respond? How did Saul respond? Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And then verse 24, this is as David has on the battle scene now, and this is Israel's response. In verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Israel lacked faith in God. Who's the saints of God saved by few or by many? They're running scared. They're running scared. Why? They didn't have faith in God. They didn't believe in God. They didn't trust in God. They weren't serving God, possibly. Maybe a good, right? They feared. But notice David's response. David, such a contrast here. The entire army's attitude towards the Philistines, or entire attitude towards Goliath versus David's attitude towards Goliath and the Philistines. The section of scripture we already read. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. I will go and fight. I will go and fight, David says. And then in verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the lion and away from the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Israel's over here and David's brothers are over here scared to death of this Philistine. And David, this young man, says, God has saved me already from the lion and from the bear. This Philistine is nothing either. Jehovah will deliver me. We see the faith of David there. And so we see as David meets Goliath on the battlefield. And as you know, we've got some select passages here. But here in verse 41 through 47, continue along there. The Philistines came on and drew near to David. And the man that bare his shield went before him, before Goliath. And the Philistines looked about and saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy, and of fair countenance. He said, who is this kid coming out to me to fight? You sent a kid to fight your battle. Verse 43, the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. By his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give you give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. I'm going to kill you, David. And David said to the Philistine, you come with me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come in the name of the Jehovah of hosts, Lord of the armies of God, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. That's who David come in the name of. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. I will smite you and take your head from you and give it the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saved not with a sword and not with spear, for the battle is Jehovah's, and he will give you into our hands. We see David's brothers and all of Israel, even King Saul, running scared, afraid. Nobody wants dare come out against this Goliath. Here's David, this young man, proclaimed the battle belongs to Jehovah. The battle belongs to God. What great faith. And then we see David's courage in action. We see him proclaim his faith in God. He saved him from the bear. He saved him from the lion. He knows he's going to save him from Goliath. He goes out and proclaims that to Goliath. And now look how he responds in verse 48. It came to pass as we continue our reading. When the Philistine arose, he come and drew close to David. And David ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone. He slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword. He drew it out of the sheath and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. David met this champion of the Philistines, knowing that Jehovah God was going to give the victory. And thus, he attained the victory. He was the messenger. He was the servant by which God gained the victory for Israel. We probably all know this story since the youth, don't we? We probably remember that story. We probably read it many times in our life. What a great act of faith. What a great act of courage. Let's take the lesson now, as we kind of really want to set that reading and set the stage here for what has happened. Now let's talk about David. Let's look at David. What does Scripture say about David that sets him apart? Why is there a King Saul who trusts himself, who trusts in his army, who fails God over and over again, and now we have a man who trusts in God? From his youth, from a young man, everybody recognized he was a young man and was of small stature, of not great strength. But his strength was God's. So let's look at David and let's consider what made him and what allowed him to be such a champion for Israel, to allow him to be such a tool for Jehovah to use. Because that's what he was. He was just a tool. He did not gain this victory by his own strength, which the story makes it clear. It wasn't by his strength that he won this victory, by the strength of Jehovah. And we can't help, but I think the first place we always start, at least I think we probably start with David, is where was his heart? What was the heart of David? Though he had many failings, we see his heart over and over again at the references to his heart. And in particular, let's talk about Acts 13:22 that summarizes it for us as good as any other place in Scripture. He says, and I'll just read that, Acts 13, verse 22. Acts 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he removed Saul. He raised up David to be their king, whom also he gave this testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That's what God said of David. That is what God said of David. He's quoted in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, where that statement is made, where he was looking for a king after his own heart. He rejected Saul, but wanted a king after his own heart. That was David. He sought him a man after his own heart. David followed Jehovah with all his heart. Yes, he failed. And our point in this lesson is not to focus upon these. The focus here is to say that David followed after God. When he did fail, he returned back to God. I think we're appropriate to say that. He followed God with all his heart. And he followed hard after God. And let's go ahead and read 1 Kings 14, verse 7 and 8. 1 Kings 14, verse 7 and 8 there. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, forasmuch as I exalted you from among the people and made you prince over my people, Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, who followed me with all his heart, to do only that which is right in my eyes. That's what's said of David. David followed after God. He was a man after God's own heart, and he followed after God. In the Psalm 63, it actually states there that he followed, God had been his help, and he followed hard after God. There in Psalm 63. He followed hard after God. Not timidly, not questionably. Like when he went to the battlefield with Goliath. Said he ran, he hastened to the battlefield. He wasn't timid, he charged forward. That was the attitude and that was the effort he put in following God. It wasn't timid, it wasn't partial, it wasn't half-hearted. He followed God with all his heart. He followed hard after God. David was courageous. By all means, I think we get that lesson. David was certainly courageous in how he entered the battlefield and his profession of confidence in God to his brothers and to all of Israel, even to King Saul. And we've read these passages. Who's going to defy the army of living God? Let no heart be troubled in that section that we read there. And then as he runs to the Philistine, he runs towards Goliath of Gath. He ran towards. He was courageous. He was courageous. I mean, after all, he knew. He had faith and trusted in God, that God was with him. And he showed that on the battlefield. We also see the source of David's strength was Jehovah. Jehovah was David's strength, not himself. He didn't trust in himself. He didn't trust in the armies like King Saul. King Saul went around, if you remember, he went and gathered up all the mighty men of Israel. Because Saul trusted in himself. Saul trusted in this huge army behind him. David, the young man, a youth, not a grown man, has lived many years of life, of old of age, and a youth had this faith in Jehovah because he'd seen it and experienced it himself. He knew Jehovah was his strength. And he's even accused of being proud. He's accused of being arrogant by his brothers there in 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. Let's go back and look at that. David's source of strength was not his own pride. David's source of strength was not himself. Verse 28 of 1 Samuel 17. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and his anger was kindled against David. He said, why do you come down hither? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? And why are you coming here? You got sheep back in the wilderness you're supposed to be taking care of. Why are you here? So he's really deriding David, chastising David. And he continues, and with whom have you left the, and I know thy pride and the naughtiness or evil that's in your heart. David's brother says, I know their pride. I know the evil in your heart. What an accusation. Certainly was a false one. David responds, verse 29, David said, what have I now done? Is there not cause? The Philistines have come out against God, against God's people. And God's people are sitting there terrified, trembling in their boots because they don't have faith in God. But David's there and has faith in God. Not in himself, not in pride of himself, not boasting of himself. And the narrative continues to reinforce that David's strength was not himself. It was in God. God saved him from the lion. God saved him from the bear. God saved him from Goliath. So his strength was not internal strength. It was that of Jehovah. And as I looked at this lesson and considered it, if we turn over the book of Psalms, the message, as we see the Psalms of David that were written, David's reliance upon God. And so my intention here is not to read these, because each one of them could be a lesson probably in and of itself for the most part. We'll look at a couple along the way. But Jehovah was David's strength in the Psalms. Comes right out, Psalms 28:8. The Lord is their strength. For you have girded me with strength for battle, Psalms 18:39, Psalm 59:16. But as for me, I shall sing of your strength. David's strength was in Jehovah. David's rock was Jehovah. More Psalms. Psalms 40 and verse 2. He set my feet up on a rock, making my footsteps firm. Psalms 18:46, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. We have a song we sing about that. It's in a supplemental song book, I believe, not in ours. But the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. Psalm 31:2, be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. Psalm 61:2, lead me to the rock that is higher. And I have a song about that one too, don't we? Psalm 71:3, be to me a rock of habitation, for you are my rock and my fortress. Jehovah, from we see from the Psalms, David was David's rock, firm foundation. He was David's refuge. Where do you go for safety? Where do you go for security? David went to Jehovah. David went to Jehovah. He didn't look it to himself. He didn't look to the armies. He didn't look to the great numbers of armies and great men. He looked to Jehovah, as we see in our example here in 1 Samuel 17. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Psalm 31:1-5, that narrative. And then Psalm 57, I will take refuge in the shadow of God's wings until these calamities be past. Jehovah delivers for David. Jehovah delivers. Psalms 18, the Psalm of Victory. I do want to go ahead and read one psalm here. Because one of the messages or the lesson that I think we draw from that I want to make a point of today is victory in Jesus, victory through God. David saw that. We can see that as well. Psalms 56 and 57, I will read those. They seem to be somewhat companion psalms. At least the messages are. In Psalm 56, starting verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, for man will swallow me up, he fighting daily to oppress me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. They tell of my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In Jehovah I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God the Most High, unto God that performed all the things before me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me, in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Wake up, my glory. Wake up, psaltery and song and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. We not see in David there a man who trusts in God, has faith in God, not in himself, not in an army. He trusts and knows God. We also see a man who recognizes his frailties, recognizes his weakness. We see glimpses of that as well. That's part of recognizing God as our creator. That's part of recognizing God as our strength, is realizing our place and David recognizing his place. Jehovah delivers. Jehovah would deliver David. Jehovah did deliver David. So we find that David, in summary, David's heart was right with God. He was of a good heart. He followed hard after God. It's key to having faith and trust in God. It's key to him overcoming that lion and that bear. Jehovah does not help them, those who do not trust in him. Those who do not try to follow him, do not want and desire to follow him. Jehovah will not help them. Jehovah helped David. Jehovah was David's strength. The battle belonged to Jehovah. We see David being courageous because of his life experiences, because he knew Jehovah, because he had done this before, because he had this experience. He knew Jehovah. He had faith and confidence in God, knew what was going to happen. The source of his strength was not himself. It was Jehovah. It was his strength, his rock, his refuge. Jehovah delivers, as we saw from the Psalms. So what about lessons for us today? Such a great Bible character, as we see as he conquered Goliath as a young man. Once again, this is not a battle-hardened soldier. This is a young child. Of what age, I don't know, but he's definitely portrayed as a young man and not capable of going to war. He was not on the battlefield. So what do we learn, though, from this lesson of David? What do we learn from this example of David, from the Old Testament, from a young boy who conquered Israel's enemy? Well, we need to slay our own Goliaths. We may have Goliaths in our lives. We should not fear. David did not fear. If we're right with God, if we put our trust in God, if we follow God, we believe His word, and we follow His word and behave and act, Jehovah will give the victory. Jehovah will deliver. We too should slay our Goliaths. Romans chapter 8 is such an encouraging passage of Scripture for us to go to. Romans chapter 8. This is Christians slaying their Goliaths. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Romans 8, 31 through 39. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Was that not David's attitude? Was that not how David approached life? If God is for us, who can be against us? God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Therein we have victory because we're justified as Christians. We've been justified. Verse 34, who is he that condemns us? Is it Christ? It is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, for distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, or Goliath? Who's going to separate these from God? Us from God? Is a Goliath going to separate us from God? Any tribulation, any trials that we have, or persecutions, even famines? Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake long we are killed, or for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We're great conquerors. It's a great victory. It's an overwhelming victory. We don't just barely win. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has promised that we will not be tempted beyond which we are able to stand. He'll give us a way of escape. We put our trust in God. Can we slay our Goliaths of fear? Can we slay our Goliaths of intimidation or whatever may be our Goliath in this life? We can overcome through our God. We can overcome. We are more than conquerors. It's the heart of the matter. Is our heart right? They would be foolish to run into battle with a heart not right with God, wouldn't he? We've seen men in the Old Testament do that. And they get slaughtered, don't they? David had experience. David knew God. David knew God's will. David performed God's will. We conclude all those things because of what's said about David. He had developed a love for God. He developed a faith in God. He exercised both of those things. He exercised both of those things. He did not have a blind faith. He had a faith that was exercised and was used and had experience with those things and knew what God was going to do. So now, a man who has faith in God, who has a love for God, who has lived that life, who has experienced in that life, he could stand strong. He could stand steadfast. He could stand against the greatest enemy, this Goliath, without fear. Because he relied on God because he knew God. Example for us is, and teaching for us is leave. There are times we need to leave things in God's hands. There may be things and difficulties and trials in life we don't understand. We can't make sense of it, but we have trust and know our Savior. We know our God and know we can overcome. If we got these other things right, if we don't have these things right, we need to start, we have to be working on those things, because when we don't have these things right, the wheels fall off the wagon, don't they? We can't charge forward if we don't have not developed a love for God and a faith in God and be able to exercise those things, then we're working blindly and we're going to run headlong into trouble. But David was not so. So if we develop these things, we can live our life of faith as David lived a life of faith. Whether it be worries, disappointments, challenges, even the burden of sin, Jesus carried that burden for us. It's not one for us to bear. We can lay our sins aside because, first of all, through baptism, he promised to be forgiven. And secondly, as we're going to talk about in the near future with Simon the Sorcerer, once we become Christians, we can lay those sins aside again that we've committed by going to God in prayer. It's not a burden we are to carry. It's not a burden we are to bear. He has borne that burden for us. We just got to give it to him. Do you want to claim your victory today over the enemies of God? First greatest victory we have is to become a Christian. Have our sins washed away. Satan loses on the day when our sins are washed away. He no longer has those charges he can make against us, but God has promised those charges are forgiven. So if you've not been baptized, if you've not had your sins washed away, maybe that's the first Goliath you need to conquer. Is get those sins put away. Put away by being baptized and having washed away. Then be washed away. And if you become a Christian, you stumbled along the way. You've made mistakes. As David made more mistakes in his life. They're recorded for us. And they're horrendous, as we spoke last week. We can have those sins taken away from us as well by going to him in prayer. He promised he will forgive us if we'll come before him and ask for his forgiveness. And if they be of a public nature that affect the church maybe there's another way you want the prayers of the saints this morning. We always offer an invitation for you to come and make that request known. So if you're subject to our gospel's calling anyway, won't you come this morning as we stand and as we sing?